Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be back in Brighton. For those that don't know me, my wife Rita is down there at the front too. We moved to Nuneaton, to a YWAM centre at the end of November, and we're in a two-bedroom flat, and gradually we've been making it home. We're not quite sorted yet, but we're getting there. It takes a long time to get everything into the right place, doesn't it? If you've moved, you'll know what I mean. But we're getting there, and it's great to be near my brother and sister-in-law, because they're at the same center too. It's good to be where the Lord wants us to be at this time. I think the only thing that I regret about the Midlands is that it doesn't have a coastline. We miss the sea, and it's great to be back here and enjoy the sea and the promenade. If you've got your Bibles, what I'd like you to do is to turn to John chapter 14. And we're going to read from verse 15. John 14 from verse 15. And Jesus is speaking. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father commanded me. How can anyone not love Jesus? He's the one who came to this earth, walked this earth, died on a cross for you and for me to forgive us of our sins, that we might really live life to the full. So many people are just enduring life. Knowing Jesus means we can live life to the full. And we've got heaven to look forward to. Isn't that good news? I'm so glad that I've got heaven to look forward to, and Jesus has made it possible by forgiving me of all my sin. Jesus is somebody who's a wonderful friend. He never leaves us or forsakes us, does he? He's with us constantly. He knows all about us, but he loves us just the same. That's one of the things I love about Jesus. He knows what I'm really like. You don't, but Jesus does. And he still loves me. That's wonderful. He's a friend that can be trustworthy, who can be trusted. He's faithful. He's true. He's loving. He's kind. He's compassionate. He's the one that brings peace to troubled hearts. He's the altogether, as the Bible says, the lovely one. How can anyone not love Jesus? Come with me for a minute. Forget that you're in a big church with lots of people around you. Come, and it's just you and me with nine others. And we're in a room, we're around a table, and Jesus is there. It's quite an intimate group. And there in verse 15, Jesus is talking to us. Just a few of us there. And he's saying this: if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I'm sure the disciples took note of that and said, Lord, we do love you, and our desire is to keep your commandments. And then he goes on and he continues to talk to them, and then he comes up with the same theme again in verse 21. In a slightly different way, he says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. So Jesus is now repeating himself, saying the same sort of thing. We think, this must be important to Jesus. He said it the second time. And then as we listen, we find that he's saying a similar thing again in verse 23. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Wow, this must be really important. This is the third time in the space of just a few minutes that he said the same thing. And then we go to verse 24. And he's saying the same thing, but now he's coming at it from a different angle. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Do you think the disciples by this time had got the message? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll walk in obedience with me. I think they were getting the message. And do you know what? Just in case the disciples hadn't got the message, he wanted to give them a personal example, and he said in verse 31, he said, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father commanded. Basically, what he's saying here, this is what I'm doing. I'm loving the Father and I'm obedient to him. Disciples, I want you to walk in the same way. Wow. If ever there was something that he underlined, it was at that intimate time with the disciples. Love and obedience. If you love me, obey me. Well, there might be somebody here that says, well, what are the commandments of Jesus? What does he want me to walk in obedience in? Well, let me say this. We can start with the Word of God. There's so much here that the Lord talks about of the things he wants us to do and follow him in. In fact, just a chapter or so before, he says to the disciples, "This is my command, that you love one another." Well, if we all did that, the world would be in a better place, wouldn't it? But that's one of the commands. Jesus is saying, are you in right relationship with one another? Do you love those around you? If not, there's some adjustment that needs to come in your Christian life. If you love me, keep my commands. I don't know about you, but I went through a phase where I read the Bible just to release the guilt if I didn't read the Bible. Ever been down that road? The pastor said I need to read the Bible every day, so let's read it. Then I don't feel guilty and I can get on with the rest of the day. Now, of course, you're all too spiritual to have ever done that. But there's been periods in my life when that's what I did. And the Lord said, no, David, what you need to be doing is coming to the Word of God and saying, Lord, what is it you're saying to me? And praying, Lord, I want to align my life up with your word. I want to walk in obedience to you. What are you saying today that needs to impact and change my life? That's why we come to church, isn't it? Not just to hear how good the preacher is or how long he preaches for. And I have to confess, I used to do that when I sat right at the very back when I was a teenager. I used to be there just to find out how long Pastor Rubman could preach for. And his record was about 53 minutes. And if he got to near 53 minutes, then, you know, we got really excited, a few of us, because we thought he might break his record. That is not the reason, folks, for coming to church. The reason for coming to church is that we might hear God speak to us and then walk in obedience. I said to the Lord during that period, you never speak to me. And he said, David, and I did hear him then. He said, David, you're not listening. That's your trouble. I thought, yeah, you're right. I'm not listening. No, we come to church because we want to hear what God says to us. And then as we leave, there's a commitment. Because of our love for Jesus, there's that commitment to walk in obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We need to obey him in what he says through the word. We need to obey him as far as our life calling is concerned. You see, I believe that every single one of you has a calling upon your life. God created you for a purpose. He wants you to be part of his kingdom and serving him in his kingdom. Many I know here know what their life work is. Do you know what your life work is? Do you know that you're a person of destiny? That you have a calling on your life and there's a work to complete? Because that's true. And as we love Jesus, it's our desire to know what the calling is upon our lives. What we should be doing, because we're people of destiny. This came home so strongly to me so many years ago now. I can't remember, but it's a number of years ago. But I was going through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and I got to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45. And I was reading through the measurements of the temple. Some of you have read it and you know what I mean. Well, the wall was this high and the door was this high and this wide. And it talks about the measurements of the temple. And I was getting a bit frustrated thinking, well, if I'm really honest this morning, I thought this is boring. This is boring. What am I reading this for? But I continued to read it through, and God in his goodness suddenly brought revelation to me. I found him speaking to my heart, and he said, David, I'm a God of plans and details, aren't I? I said, yes, Lord, I'm reading about them now in this temple passage. Yeah, And then he said something that I'll never forget. He said, David, as I had detailed plans for the physical temple there, so you, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He said, just in the same way, I have detailed plans for your life. I thought, wow. God spoke so clearly through that. You see, I'm a person with a calling upon my life, with a work to do, with a work to complete. And in my heart, I want to follow in obedience what the Lord has for me. And I'm sure for many of you, that's your desire. You know, sometimes what we hear the Lord say doesn't always agree with us. If you ever had that experience, the Lord's asked you to do something and you've gone, really not sure about that. Well, I had an experience back in the 80s where I felt the Lord wanted us to open a discipleship training school in St. Helens. We were living in Liverpool at the time. And there was a church school that the local council had been using and then no longer had any use for it. And the church said, would you like it as a discipleship training school? You can have it for £1 a year. I thought, well, that's a really good deal, but I don't like where the place is. It had buildings on all three sides and a playground in front of it and a little bit of grass at the other side of the road. It was in an urban priority area, gangs roamed the streets, and it wasn't a great place to have a Bible school. Anybody knew that. I'd been to Homestead Manor, just up the road. Nice drive up to the house, nice trees, lakes, very nice, a great place to hear God and go on with him. But in St. Helens, So I said to the Lord, Lord, this is not a great idea. But I felt the Lord say, I want you to follow it through anyway. And so we began to make some plans, and I think some of the locals got noise that we were going to come and take it over. And one day I had two ladies come to me in Liverpool, and they said, we've got a petition here and we don't want you to come. And here's 1,000 signatures of people in the local area saying we don't want you here. I thought, wow, that's interesting. I didn't like to say to them, actually, I don't want to go there either. And if you've got 1,000 signatures, I can make it 1,001 for you right now. I'll sign it. But through the goodness of the Lord, through a godly wife who said, no, come on, we've got to do this. This is what God seems to be saying. We continued, and we got the school ready for, I thought, the one or two students that might turn up because they didn't know where the place was. And I really struggled with it. And I said to the Lord on one occasion, I remember saying this, Lord, this is not going to work out. And when it doesn't work out, I'm going to say that this was your idea and not my idea. I had nothing to do with this. Seriously. Well, what happened? Does God know best? Do you know what? I'm so glad, even though it didn't make sense to me, even though I didn't think it was a good idea, I am so glad that we decided to walk in obedience with the Lord. Because what happened was 33 students from 12 nations turned up to that school. I have no idea where they came from. In fact, we had to make two of them group leaders because we didn't have enough group leaders. And it was an amazing school. I won't take any more time, but it was just the most amazing school. Many times what God has for us does make sense, but sometimes it doesn't really gel in our hearts, doesn't seem to make sense. Out of our love for Jesus, let's obey him anyway. Because as we do, let me tell you, you'll be on one of the most exciting adventures ever with God. This whole thing about destiny has really helped me over the last year. Let me just give a little bit of a testimony here. For those that don't know, I was diagnosed with cancer about a year ago. It's terminal. I need a miracle if I'm going to survive many more years. That doesn't really bother me. When I was in hospital in July, my heart stopped twice, and I had cardiac arrest, but the Lord brought me through that time. And one of the reasons that the Lord brought me through that time was the prayers of people in this church. And for those who prayed during that time, this gives me an opportunity to say thank you very, very much. Because your prayers and prayers from people around the world mean that I'm here today. Thank you so much. Don't let anybody tell me that prayer is a waste of time. I know prayer is not a waste of time. Prayer has powerful influence and effect in people's lives. So prayer is one of the reasons. I think another reason why I'm around is because I haven't finished the work God has for me yet. You see, I believe it won't be cancer that takes me. It will be when Jesus says, "It is finished, David. Come and get your reward." That's such comfort. Let me tell you, that is such comfort. I've realized afresh the power of destiny and the calling on one's life. And I don't know when my work's going to be over, but I'll keep going. And either the Lord will preserve me or heal me to keep me going for as long as he wants to. But that's a great place to be and has brought me so much comfort over the last year. I'm a person of destiny with a calling upon my life. It's interesting that, you know, some people think we reach the age of retirement. We came back from Spain when I was 65, about 18 months ago, and some people thought we'd come back to retire. There is no retirement in the work of the kingdom. There isn't. And when people says, "Are you here to retire?" I sort of reacted in my spirit a little bit. And instead of saying, "Oh no, we're not back here to retire, we're back just to keep working in the kingdom," I sort of reacted a little bit. Retirement, no! I'm not back to retire. I'm here to keep working for the Lord. I did a Google search. And in this Google search, I looked up in the authorized version, excuse me, the word retirement. Do you know what came up? It just said it could not be found. Interesting, isn't it? So I said, "Well, that's an old version. Holland Road uses the NIV. Let's try the NIV. Bound to be there." What came up? It could not be found. I thought, "Well, let's try the Message. It's bound to be in the Message." What came up? It could not be found. You see, there's no retirement. For Jesus, although the devil tried to short-circuit his life on a number of occasions when he walked on earth, the enemy was unable to kill him before his time. And Jesus himself was able to say, "It is finished," when he was on the cross. That's when he finished his work. Paul, well, you couldn't say Paul didn't have an adventurous life. He was near death many times, but always came through. And then in 2 Timothy 4, he's able to say, "I have run the course, I have finished the race. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." You see, we keep going until we're finished. And for me, that has been very comforting. We're people of destiny. Are you walking in the calling that's upon your life? It's either a yes or no. And if you're not sure what it is, talk to somebody real soon. And they'll pray with you and help you and give you some understanding, perhaps, as to what God is saying about your life's work. Sometimes it unfolds bit by bit, but all of us should have that sense of destiny upon our lives. We walk in obedience through reading his word and through having an understanding and following through the destiny that he has for us. Before I go on, let me just add another personal testimony, verse 27 in this. But it says this: "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." That's an amazing verse. It's one I know off by heart. And despite everything that has gone on in the last year, I can honestly say my heart has been at peace. That has to be the work of God. It has to be the work of God. Rita's known it as well. When I was in hospital and it looked fairly certain I was going to die, she said there was one occasion she was driving, tears were streaming down her cheeks. She probably shouldn't have been driving, actually, but she just cried out to God. And in that moment, the Lord gave her a real sense of peace. This isn't just a nice verse, folks. We've proved it to be true. Peace I give to you. And it's a supernatural peace that he gives. And this morning, before I go on, what I want to say is, if you're troubled this morning, and there may be a number who are troubled here this morning, can I ask you to take hold of this verse? It's for you this morning. It says, "Peace I give to you." Just in your mind, say, "Lord Jesus, this morning I want to receive that gift of peace in my heart. I take hold of your word. I believe it's true. I want to take hold of the peace that you're giving to me." And just as we've experienced the peace of God, I believe you can experience this morning the same peace in your heart. Allow the Lord to come, as it were, see that peace as a gift and receive it to your heart. And let him touch you with that this morning, because that's his heart's desire for you. Well, in loving and obeying the Lord, can we do that on our own? Let's go back to the scripture. Verse 15, it says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. That word counselor, parakleton, I think it is in the Greek, it can mean a number of things. Many of the translations use the word helper, comforter, even advocate. There's a whole number of translations of that one word. But I like that word helper. In obeying Jesus, we have a helper. Because as I look at my life, and for many of you as you've looked at your lives, you've seen that you've needed help to be able to walk in obedience with Jesus. And as soon as he gives that command to obey him, he says, hey, there's a helper. There's a helper there. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And then he comes back to that in verse 25. He says, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. We have the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's go back just a moment, because I rather like this. It says, the Spirit of truth in verse 17, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He lives with you and will be in you. I was just looking at one or two commentaries on this, and one of the commentators said that he felt it was like this. The Holy Spirit was with the disciples because Jesus was with them. And the Holy Spirit was in Jesus. Remember when he was baptized at the River Jordan, the Spirit of God came upon him like a dove. He was filled with the Spirit. Everything he did in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus was saying, he is with you because I'm with you. But he will be in you. And that's a theme that you can read about in chapter 15 and 16. And then again, let's just have a look at Acts and chapter 1. Because the same theme is picked up here. On one occasion in Acts chapter 4, he was eating with them and he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. So they're still waiting. The Holy Spirit that was with them but would be in them, it hadn't happened yet. And then Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then chapter 2, we see the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need his help if we're going to walk in continual obedience with the Lord. We can't do it in our own strength. The question is this morning, are we filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me just share two things which will underline my need of the Holy Spirit. Is this working? It is, okay. The Holy Spirit comes and empowers us for witness. And one of the things Jesus wants us to do is be witnesses, to share our faith with others. And I wasn't very good at that. You might identify with me. I used to hear the pastors keep talking about sharing faith, but to be honest, I wasn't very good. And then I came to a church meeting at this church. I think Mary Hitchens was speaking, and I was really challenged by what I heard. And I got somebody afterwards to pray with me, and I said, I just feel such a lack of the Spirit in my life. Would you pray for me that I might be filled with the Spirit? And they did. And I was filled with the Spirit. It was a wonderful occasion. And I knew something had changed, because the next morning I had a desire to speak to the apprentice that was working with me. I was an electrician. I had an apprentice. He knew I went to church. I'd never really talked to him about the Lord. But that morning, having been filled with the Spirit, suddenly there was a new desire. And I said, Lord Jesus, would you please give me an opportunity to witness to Brian in the next week or so? I knew something had changed. I'll never forget it. That morning, we were both having a cup of tea around 10 o'clock. He was reading his newspaper. I was reading mine. And suddenly, he put his newspaper down and he said, David, you believe in God, don't you? Tell me about him. I panicked. I said, no, not now, Lord. I'm not ready. I haven't done the study of how to talk about you. Can you just give me a little bit of slack here? Well, of course, the Lord was with me. And that was the first time I began to speak to him about Jesus. I believe I took him to one or two meetings. There was a desire there to witness. And it came because I was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants us all to be filled with the Holy Spirit. One other thing, and this may be a help to some, and I feel I should share it. The Lord wants us to live holy lives. I believe the Holy Spirit can help us live holy lives. He's called the Comforter. Do you know, when we're going through hard times, we can go to various things for comfort. Have you ever gone to the fridge for comfort? Have you ever gone to the internet for comfort? Have you ever gone to something else for comfort because you just feel you need comfort at that time? I think we all have. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. And somebody said something to me that I put to the test and found it worked. He said, do you know, at times when we feel tempted to go into different areas to find comfort, he said the Holy Spirit is a comforter. If you go to him for comfort, he will comfort you. And you won't need to go into these other areas that can lead into sin. And he said, if you pray when you feel tempted and ask the Holy Spirit to comfort you, within 2 or 3 minutes, you will find that the power of that temptation has been reduced. And you'll find you can withstand the temptation to go into that thing. Do you know what, folks? I found that works. Times when I've been tempted to go into things to find comfort that I know I shouldn't, and I've asked the Holy Spirit to comfort me specifically, he's come and he's brought me the comfort that I've needed. It will be the same for you. The Holy Spirit helps us to obey Jesus in witnessing, in leading holy lives, in so many other areas. We need the Holy Spirit. And so as I bring things to a conclusion this morning, I want to start again, and I don't mind repeating myself because Jesus repeated himself, and I want to say this. If we love Jesus, let's keep his commandments. Let's have a deep desire to do that in our hearts. We're at the beginning of the year, David said. Well, the year's gradually moving on a bit. But this is a great place, right at the beginning of the year, to say in our hearts, Lord Jesus, I do love you. You've done so much for me. Would you, at a new level, help me keep your commandments? Because I really want to please you, and I really want to be effective in this world that you've placed me. And as we do that and we ask for the Holy Spirit's help, he will help us to live such lives. Let's pray together. I just want to give a moment's silence. And let's in our hearts ask the Lord, Lord, what is it you've said to me this morning, if anything? What am I taking away this morning? What do I need to do to walk in obedience with you in these coming days? Holy Spirit, would you speak into each of our hearts? And then I want to ask the question this morning. The Holy Spirit is here to help us walk in obedience to the Lord. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Do we sense the Holy Spirit in our lives, leading and guiding us? See, I believe this morning that for some, the Lord wants to fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit. Maybe to experience what I experienced, a greater desire to witness as I was filled with the Spirit of God. Is the Lord asking you to be filled afresh with his Spirit this morning? As Tim comes up in just a moment, can I invite you to, if you want to be prayed for, to be filled with the Holy Spirit in a fresh way this morning? What a great way to start this new year, being filled afresh with his Spirit. And I'm not going to make it easy. If you would like to be filled afresh with the Spirit, as Tim is leading in worship, come forward to the front, or Steve is with his team in the balcony there, go to Steve and say, I know I need to be filled afresh with the Spirit of God. And as you come, you're coming to the Lord, not to anyone else. You're coming to Jesus and you're saying, Jesus, I need more of your Spirit to obey you. And it will be a joy to pray for you, and I believe the Lord's going to fill you afresh with his Spirit as you go from this church today. So during the singing of this next song, don't delay, come to the front if for you, you know, I need to be filled afresh with the Spirit of God, and let God meet with you on the 22nd of January 2012. Tim.